Hey guys, here we are again. That's the Sherwood Snell. I hope you saw our last one. I titled our last one Collisions in America. Man,
Collisions.
I
Boom, boom,
collided.
boom.
We collided. Now, today, the subject is the two-party system. Do we have it? And hopefully, my friend Dan Snell is going to ask me, what should the Democrats be doing? So let's just start off with the two-party system. Why do we have it? How long have we had it? What do you think?
Well, you go back history. If my history is good, there was the Federalist Party. Long ago, there was the Federalist. It's a new mouth. I just had it installed, so that's why I can't say words. But do you know what the name of the other party was? They kind of had two parties, the Federalists, and the name of the other party was the Democrat Republicans. The Democratic Republicans. So then they got rid of the Federalists, and we got to the two-party system. That was,
Well, let me
seven.
ask you a simpler question. In the Constitution, did the founders mention anything about a two-party system?
No, not
No,
really, in
right.
the governing.
Exactly. Now, my fundamental foundational theory is that as human beings, we gravitate toward a two-party system in just about everything we do. For
Yeah, we
example,
do. And unfortunately, that creates the thing that I just do not like and why I wrote the book over here. It is The Winsome Candidate, is it's us versus them. It creates the they got to be bad so that I'm good. The us
No,
versus them.
you missed the whole point then. Okay.
No,
The
no, no.
two-party
That's what happens.
system, no, the two-party system doesn't mean good and evil.
Right.
Just
It
two
shouldn't.
parties. Yeah, and
It
it
shouldn't.
doesn't. It
It should mean
doesn't
two
by nature.
philosophies.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that. Now, the people that run the two parties can interpret that, but fundamentally, we need two parties because, in fact, we need two different points of view. I go to I testify in court. There's just one side and the other side. I watch football. There's two teams. I watch tennis. There's two players. You watch volleyball. There's two teams, right? Would those sports, in other words, would it be fun to watch just one team play football? No. I think our DNA requires the two-party system. It requires two strong groups of people opining different points of view so that a judge or a jury or the American people can decide. And those points of view don't have to be negative. They don't have to be evil. They can just be two points of view.
Exactly.
You
And
agree with
that's where
that?
we've fallen off the horse, and then the
Yeah,
horse is
we fall
dragging
off the
us.
horse because what's happening is we, rather than talk about two points of view, we somehow get it into some sort of you're right and I'm wrong. Instead of there's two points of view. And that's what I'm arguing for now. And I can tell you right now, the Democrats have the opportunity of a lifetime.
And I want you, Bob Sherwood, to tell us how could they, what can the Democrats, if you were the head of the Democratic Party, what would you do?
I can tell you what I do, and it has to do with what I call fundamental behavioral DNA, right? In other words, for example, first thing I would do if I was in charge of the Democratic Party is I'd send out a memo and I would say, from here day forward, don't criticize anything Trump does. Don't criticize his appointments to cabinet. Don't criticize, in fact, any support it. Say, focus on the good things. Now, so we completely raise the level. Now, what should the Democratic Party do? I just said what they shouldn't do. Now, what should they do? Focus on policy differences. Now, right now, for example, Trump is appointing somebody that's to run the educational department who's already said she's going to dismantle it and put it back in the states. Now, that's a point of view. Now, let's talk about that. If I'm a Democrat, I'm not going to say I think her name is DeVos or DeVos. I'm not going to say she's stupid. She's not stupid. I'm not going to say she's silly. She's not silly. So I'm just going to focus on the policy. Now, there is DeVos's point of view is that it's impossible for the government to legislate education across whole different demographics. The rural county in Alaska is different than New York City education. So she wants to put it back down to the states. That's a policy. That's a point of view. It's not wrong. It's a policy. So as a Democrat, what I would say is I would point out the problems with that policy. Now, I wouldn't say my policy is right or her policy is wrong. I would say here's one of the problems with that. We want our people to be educated, but we also know we can't spend $500,000 for three teachers to teach four kids in a city that only has 1,800 people. We know that. So
right.
What the federal government has tried to do, which is a wonderful thing, is let's figure out a way we can provide the same education to all children, regardless of how big their school is or where they're located. Now, that's a policy. Now, there is a counter policy. That's what I'm talking about right now. I'm not saying DeVos is wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to give it back to the states. I'm just saying that the Democrats should argue for their own policy. If their policy is let's let the federal government do it, then they should be providing reasons why it's better. And there's many reasons why it's better. Now, and when I say better, I should be careful there. I don't mean right or wrong. I should just say different. For example, it's very hard for a small city in Hayes, Kansas, to provide the same education to students in Johnson County. In Johnson County, the average income for a household is $140,000, and in Hayes City, it's probably $30,000. They just can't afford the same school system. And if I'm a teacher, I'd rather teach in Leawood, Kansas than teach in Hayes, Kansas. So now we get down to policy differences, right? The Democrats should be advocating their policy. And if they don't have a way to do what we're talking about now, they should say, here's another way to do it. DeVos, I think her name is DeVos, is saying, hey,
yeah, Betsy.
Let's just give it Betsy all back DeVos. To the states. In a way, what the Republicans are saying is that we can't figure out a way for the government to do it, so let's just not do it. Let's just give it back to the states. Now, by the way, the states always had it at one time, and we gave it back to the government because the states couldn't figure out a way to do it. So what I'm really driving at is that the Democrats' opportunity is not to say DeVos is wrong in trying to remove it, or Trump is stupid for appointing her, or she's always been against federal education. That's a waste of time. What they should be saying, look, there's another way to do it, and that's what we are advocating as Democrats. We're advocating maybe don't turn it all back to the states. Maybe just turn some of it back to states. And maybe the federal government then makes up for the cities that can't afford good education for those students. Or maybe the Democrats advocate a policy of internet for all, where there's a group of teachers who are the best teachers in the world, accessible by any student anywhere in the United States of America. So rather than think that the states can just, you know, handle that, that would be something that the federal government could do. We've always talked about that. And there's this, it's the age old internet question. How many instructors, or put it another way, how many great math instructors do we need? One, because we have the internet.
Yeah.
So what I'm driving at again is that's just one example of so yeah, going back. So first thing as a Democrat is I would tell Carvel, whatever his name is, that guy that always comes on with the glasses and he's Finn and everything and swear clean. I tell him to just basically shut up and go away and hide somewhere, right? Because all he does is talk about, oh, this guy is misogynist or this guy. It's a waste of time. 84 million people have already said, hey, we're going to go with Trump. So the Democrats have this great opportunity to reinvent themselves along policy differences. Now, I'll give an example. If the Republicans say, we want to get, what's his name, Vivek and Musk in there to cut down the fat, right? There's nothing wrong with that. As a Democrat, I should be saying to Musk and Vivek, let's go do it. How can we help you? What can
Yes.
we do to help you do that? Now,
Yeah.
Because there's going to be all kinds of issues they're going to have to raise. You can't, if they're civil servants, you can't fire them. You know, so what's the cost of cutting down the fat? Maybe the cost of cutting down the fat is more than leaving the fat there. Whatever
Yeah,
that
it's going to
fat
be an interesting
is.
process because, as you just said, there are some protections, I believe, that civil servants have. And I think that Trump agenda is to find a way that he can get rid of civil servants.
I mean,
That,
yeah, but it's more than that. It's like, if you are Vivek or Elon, you've now been assigned this responsibility. What do you do? Do you fly down to Washington, D.C. and ask people where the fat is? Who are you going to ask?
Yeah,
What I'm saying, go ahead.
It's interesting because I just read yesterday, it's not going to be an official part, this committee they're doing. And I'm not sure if it's going to have government funding to meet, but if you're going to have a committee, you can't just let those two guys do it. You've got to bring in some smart minds from across the country, kind of like Ronald Reagan did with the Grace Commission,
yeah,
because
well,
this isn't new.
They're pretty smart, but I guess what you're saying, you're agreeing with me, is that what the Democrats should be doing is saying, we think it's a great policy to get rid of the fat.
How can we help?
How can we help?
Yeah.
And can
how
we
can
get
we help?
Involved in it? Because, see, that's common sense. Everybody knows we want to get rid of the fat, but
yeah.
maybe some people don't realize getting rid of the fat means cutting out NPL radio. Well,
yeah.
Democrats should say, you know, maybe they can say that may be a good idea, but here's the disadvantages of that. They should be pointing out other policies that they recommend and supporting the ones that common sense say everybody wants. Everybody wants the fat to be out of the government, but really no one even knows where the fat is. So you got to find it, right? So
yeah.
You should be saying, we're in favor of that. Now, when you get ready to cut out the fat, why don't you start up a website and publish all the things you're going to cut out? So it's transparent.
And that's, I think, what their plan is to have it all posted on the internet.
We'll see.
And the reason why as you said, the Democrats and Republicans, but both parties should jump on this, is because it's an opportunity to do something that hasn't been done in a long time, a coalition, so to speak, because Vivek and Elon may not understand why this happens at the federal level and why this takes place, whether it's Department of Education or whatever. So if somebody can explain to them, here's the history and the background of that, I'm going to help you understand how to do that, how we do it now, so that you can offer some ideas. Otherwise, they're just going to say, oh, well, here's $1 billion. Let's just yank that. Sometimes.
Well, you see, now let's be careful there, because that's telling them they're stupid. These guys are not stupid, right?
No, they're not stupid, so, but they should be smart enough to accept
that,
hey, I don't know everything.
They're smart enough to know they don't know everything, right? So I'm driving at is, rather than attack the person, rather than attack Elon Musk or his program, or I was with a Democrat the other night attacking Elon Musk, and I thought to myself, that's just stupid. It's just a waste of time. The guy is super smart. He's done things that are great. You don't attack him. You might attack something he's doing or something like that. But going back again, if the Republicans are already on board with getting out the fat, it's the Democrats that aren't. That's the problem. The Democrats should be announcing on television, we're in favor of this policy. How can we help? What can we do? We'd like to help you with the website. We'd like to help you identify the fat. You see, then their whole issue of divisiveness kind of goes away. Now they're not attacking the person. And they got to be careful about that, because what the Democrats tend to do, and I'm not, in fact, I'm not saying Democrats in general. I'd say some of the TV hosts, they attack the person. And that's a waste of time, because it's like Whoopi Goldberg saying, oh God, you know, Trump, if she attacks Trump, she's attacking 83 million people, including me, that voted for him. If she attacks his policy, I'm in favor of that, if she presents an alternate policy. So when I'm coming back to my whole theme here, is that the Democrats have the biggest opportunity they've ever had. If they don't take it, in 4 years, guess what? We'll be electing J.D. Vance president again. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying the two-party system is essential that we can see the other side. What if you went to court and only one side got a chance to present its case? Who do you think would always win?
Sure.
One side.
Yeah.
We need.
So what do you think
sides.
Along these lines, and it hasn't been done, but you know, there's a lot of talk about the whole electoral college process, and that's why there's two parties, is who can get to 270 first. That's what it's all about. It's about who can, you have two parties, so who can get to point from point A to point B, who can get to the point B, which is victory, fast. If you had three parties, you'd have to change the whole electoral college system, and maybe, because we're a heck of a lot different than we were when the electoral college system was created, which it was an intelligent system because it's representative of the population.
Yeah.
However, what if you had a third party, maybe it would offer for more coalitions, what I think more compromise isn't a bad word. A lot of people think compromise is a cuss word. No. You know, sometimes if you can get 85% of what you want, don't just complain and say, no, I'm not, I want anything to do with it because of 15%. Go along to make progress and then regroup to get back gain
and
on your
15%. Everybody agrees with that. Now, but we get back down to if I was running the Democratic Party, I would encourage third parties. I'd come out and I'd say, I'm for it. How do we do it? I'm for somebody doing it. I don't have to basically join them. I don't have to help them raise money. But if Joe Smith wants to start a third party, I'd say, fine, start it. I don't care. Because why? Because I believe in the two-party system. I am a Democrat, and I'm going to focus on policies. It's almost like the Democrats could become the shadow government. In other words,
the shadow
government. Trump is appointing certain people to certain spots. Those people are going to adopt certain policies, right? You should never attack the person. They're already saying, oh, we don't want so-and-so to get appointed because he has this, that. That's just crazy. He's the president. He's already got a mandate. Approve wherever he wants. It doesn't matter. Because what you want to really do then is say, well, what policy is that person going to do? Then the Democrats present an alternate policy. They don't argue the guy is wrong. So it's a very sensitive difference. We don't argue that DeVos is wrong or Kennedy is wrong. We argue that the policies implemented has negative effects.
Yeah.
The idea that we can take education and send it down to the states is a great idea. It's no different than the idea 100 years ago with the states had, let's send the damn education back to the federal government because we can't figure it out.
How long do you think that would take, Bob?
What?
I mean, it would probably be a 2 to 3 year process.
What?
I think if Republicans in control now could do that over a 2 to 3 year process, it would be a wow, look what we did here. We could continue it for the election time then in 2028.
Well, but if the Democrats don't change, if the Democrats don't get away from attacking people, which starts with, what's her name, Pelosi, all they talk about is who attacked Biden? Who pushed Biden out? Who cares who pushed Biden out? It doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is what the policies are. So they got to get rid of Pelosi and get rid of her. She represents somebody who attacks people. I don't remember her ever saying anything about a policy. Just say Trump is this or Trump is that or blah, 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 blah. And what she should be saying is that the Republican policy is this specifically, because everybody wants to make America great again or forever or future, whatever it is. Everybody wants that. There's nothing wrong with that. If we disagree, it's on particular policies. And what we find is that we need a two-party system to do that because everything we do in our life is two-party. You know, the Bible, we had good and evil. We have the devil and you have God. We don't need the two parties to be devil and God. We just need two parties to represent two different points of view. As an expert witness, my role is to present an opposing point of view to the judge. I don't make a decision on who's right or wrong. I just say, here's another point of view.
Well, and I'll ask you on this because it really hits home as to the whole concept of the two parties, because most of the media and social media, they either lock on one side or the other side, and yeah. they make a Pelosi bad or they make a Trump bad, a point at the other side, and there's no rules. There's no referee. You know, I referee basketball. I wish I could referee the media. But what happens is you hear, like you mentioned, Pelosi says all these bad things. Well, in the last 2 years, I've listened to both sides of the spectrum so that I could do some radio interviews. And I have heard on more liberal networks where Pelosi's talked about policy and made some common sense. And then I hear on the right where how bad she is, and they only take clips. It's just like if somebody was taking our podcast, they could sound, you and I sound so intelligent and articulate if they took a clip, but they could also make me sound like some dumb hick from
this
a small town in Nebraska.
Where the Democrats have an opportunity.
Well, you got to get... So as an expert witness, here's my question. As an expert witness, you're not really able to go off and pontificate on your personal viewpoint or your views or your bias. You have to give the facts, right?
Exactly. What I'm saying, now we go back to your point. What the Democrats should do is simply tell the media, you're quoting us wrong. They should take the high road. They should take the very high road and say, we agree with Republicans. The media is biased. You've got Fox, they're biased. MSNBC, they're biased. The Democrats should basically announce that. They're saying, we know MSNBC is biased. We're not in favor of MSNBC. We're in favor of policy discussions. You can't turn on, what's her name, Rachel Maddow, that realizing that if she discusses policy, it's a word she uses at the very, very high level, like some high-level policy, instead of specifics. Policy is about the details. It's about how in the world, when we give it back to the states, what are the states going to do? And by the way, the states want it back, but they what they really want is the money that they were getting anyway without the federal government strings. And that's what the Democrats should be talking about.
Yeah, because it is the Department of Education budget, I'm just going top of mind, is like $240 billion. Now, that's spread out over 50 states plus probably maybe Puerto Rico or something. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of money. If every state could get a couple billion dollars, even or over the next 2 years, you could dramatically, without all the regulations.
They're getting it now, right.
Yeah.
The money goes
well, they're not necessarily getting it because it's not flowing back to the states. It's part of the bureaucracy.
Well, now you got two. Let's take your point. There's $240 billion budget, right? Of which, let's just say 10%, $24 billion is administration.
Yeah, probably more.
Whatever the number is, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's the fact. Now, what the federal government is thinking about doing is still saying the same number back to the states. That's all the states care about. I was getting $18 billion before. I want to get $18 billion now.
Yeah.
But the FAT, which is the administrative costs, which most people argue about. But getting back to specifics, what the Democrats should be doing is looking at that detail. Instead of arguing at the high level, they should be saying, what FAT are we going to cut out? Will there be any strings on that money that goes back to the states? Will the states be able to do whatever they want with it? How do you trust the states to take the money and spend it on education? How do the states make sure that all those small cities get the same education? They should be providing other alternates. And I've just made one. I've just said one many times. It's been said by many people before. Take all the great teachers from Harvard and MIT and make their lectures available to everybody from Hays, Kansas to Juneau, Alaska to New York City. Let them take that material online. But why can't they do that? Because the colleges, the universities who get money from the government think all that stuff is copyrighted and they want to sell it. Well, that's where the Democrats should come in and say, you're getting money from the educational department. You'll take your best teacher's curriculum, and you're going to put it online tomorrow, and every student can access it for free. See, this is what I'm saying.
Wouldn't that be something?
Pardon me?
That'd be something.
It's easy to do. It can be done.
I know when you and I had our radio program, you were talking about what's an organization that was doing education online like 10 years ago. Oh, I forgot.
They're still doing it online, and they're trying to do it in California, but they're not for profit. I'll think of the name in a second, but they have great coursework, right? People can take it, but guess what? It's not accredited. See, that's who takes care of the accreditation? The colleges. So that's an area where the Democrats should say, look, we have an educational system already in place. We have content everywhere. We have math teachers in 150 universities. Make all of that content available online to every student that wants it for free. That's how you get education going.
Yeah.
Now coming back again, and that group in California, they've got lots of content. But coming back again, if you want to take a course from MIT from one of their great instructors, guess what? You got to pay $4,000 for it, or $5,000. Right now, AI programs from all the big schools, Harvard, they all cost $3,000 to $6,000. Well, wait a minute. Those colleges exist because we send them money. That material should not be copyrighted. Remember, McGraw-Hill had their claws into every student in the United States for probably 50 years. The professors wrote the books. McGraw-Hill published them.
And you had to buy the $100 book.
$95, $100 books, and the students had to buy them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now, thank God, some of that's gone away because some of that stuff has gone online. So the Democrats should be promoting those kind of liberal policy. That's a liberal policy. Let's take the best teachers in the United States of America and make all their content available. It's a real simple policy. Everybody can access it. So what I'm driving at is that the Republicans will never do that. They won't. They won't do it. And I don't know why they won't do it, but because they don't have, let's say, a real broad view of education, right? The idea of sending it back to the states, that's a good idea. And that'll work for 3 or 4 years. And we know the states won't be able to do it well. They just won't, because they couldn't do it well before. All you have to do is go to a council meeting where they select the books for their school. who can trust? If you look at some of these meetings where they say, oh, no, we can't have that book in our school system. Another school.
Yeah, the local board of school book, boards, right? And board of education.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They sometimes get overrun by one partner.
Democrats should be focusing on their policies. And if Rachel Maddow, who has a pretty good following, she's lost like 30 or 40% of her following. I get that. But if she would take her following and simply do a whole 360 degree say, she's, you know, I'm not going to say another bad word about Trump. He's the president, but I'm going to talk about his policies. And we're going to interview people that'll give a different point of view. So instead of the Democratic Party attacking people, their principle should be, we are not the party in power. The Republicans are. We're not saying that's bad or good, but we're going to provide different points of view on every policy they implement and let the American people decide. And 4 years from now, if all of the Republicans' policies work, fine, we'll be in favor. Elect another president. And if they're not, then let's try our policies.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting to talk about the media, because I can't remember. I think it was back like in the 90s where, you remember before Hannity became famous by himself on Fox, it was Hannity and Combs.
Yeah.
And Combs was the liberal guy. He was the Democrat.
Right. Exactly.
Then they'd go back and forth. And people looked at that as they watched it and they thought, well, that's some good sparring. Well, we did away. There was actually a guideline. I wish I could remember the name. Like, sometimes the brain doesn't always pop, but somebody out there will know and maybe could write us. But there was a national FCC guideline that said, if you give one side the floor, you have to give
they
the other
now.
Equal
they,
time.
They brought that up on the SNL of the vice president. Right.
Yeah. And so you have to, if we'd go back to that, I think it would offer a little more balance, which would then the average American citizen, Jimmy Jones, Sally Smith, they wouldn't just have.
That's an unimplementable law. That's the problem, right? It's unimplementable because well, it happened in SNL. And SNL, NBC took advantage of it. What the liberals should be saying is they think NBC was wrong. They were wrong to come on at the last minute and give her a minute, 30 seconds where 60 million people could see her.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris. So they should just say it's wrong. It is wrong. It's wrong because it doesn't allow the other party. If I was Trump, I would say I don't want to be on SNL anyway, but that's not the point. I'm going to come back to the same thing. The Democrats have got to raise their brain out of the depths of misogyny and all the other crap. And he's a felon. I mean, somebody that's so stupid. He's a felon. We should never vote for a felon. I voted for a felon. So what? You know, Kennedy had women going in and out of his office every couple of weeks, as I understand it, right? So look at Clinton. Clinton still gets $1 million for a show up. He had an affair with his intern and lied about it. He says, oh, I didn't have sex with her. No, he had a cigar with her. I mean, what he did was horrible. What he did was horrible. Yeah, if the Democrats have a big party, who do they bring in? Clinton.
Yeah.
No, Hillary Clinton made the mistake of her life. She should have sent that guy packing. She didn't. She has no moral authority with any woman in the United States. Oh, my husband's Bill Clinton, and yeah, he fooled around all the time, and he did something with a cigar with an intern, but I'm going to stick it out with him. She should have shoved him aside, you know, but she didn't. What I'm driving at is that the Democrats had this great opportunity, but if they listen to James Carville and the Joe, what's his name of the world, they'll just wind up losing again because they don't understand the importance of the two-party system. Now, we've kind of went through our point. I think I've made my point, which is I think they have the opportunity of a lifetime. I wish to hell I was in charge of the Democratic Party.
Huh.
Not because I don't consider myself a Republican, or I just like Republican policies. But I can tell you there's a lot better policies out there.
Yeah, and that's the good thing that needs to happen for the country is to be discussions about solutions. You know, what's a solution to this is a problem we have in America? What's the solution to it? Not focus on how bad that person is or that party is. What's the solution to this problem?
But the Democrats have to rise to that. You can't just say we got to get a solution. They've got to do. In other words, you're missing my point in a way. When I go to court, I don't say a solution.
Right.
I don't say this is the
solution. You have to just give the facts.
No. I say this is a solution. The other side says this is a solution. And the judge makes the decision as to which solution is more factually, not factually, makes more sense. What the Democrats should be doing is not saying their solution is better. That's wrong. They don't know if it's better or not. They should offer a solution and say, these are the benefits of this solution. These are the negatives with the other solution on the educational area. We're not saying one solution is better or right or wrong, but we want you, the American people. See, now they got this position. We want the American people to know the benefits, the downsides of each policy, specifics, because otherwise the high level thing is everybody. Yeah, I'm against taking the fat out of the government. But what if it requires you to change the way you go to work? Oh, well, I don't want to do that. Oh, I see. So you don't want us to continue funding busing. Oh, I didn't know that was part of the fat. No, that's part of the fat. So once we know the details, very often we find out we don't really like the policy.
Yeah. So and the challenge is what might be good from the Department of Education regulations in New York or Florida or California, in Kansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma, we shouldn't be burdened by regulations and policies that are put in place for gigantic metro areas.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd say to the Democrats, my last point is this. If there's fat in administering whatever, what did you say their budget was, $80 billion or $240
billion? $240 billion.
If there's fat in administering the $240 billion, and we go to the federal government, Washington, D.C., we eliminate the fat. Guess where the fat now is going to turn up?
Someplace else.
At the states who are administering the money.
Yeah. And depending on how well they are stewards, they could be good stewards.
They've got to add fat. The federal government is doing some job. Those people are sitting in their office doing some job. If that job is gone, somebody else has got to do that job. The state's got to accept. Now, the state's got to have the fat. See, the high-level argument is this. Can you have fat in the federal government? That when you transfer it, when you eliminate that fat, do you just displace the fat? You just put the fat now at the state level. You see my point? Because
That's
it
kind of like
takes
when I
so
eat too much ice cream. First, it starts on my hips, and
yeah,
then
well,
I
a little
run, and
back
then
up,
it
right?
moves a little bit.
Yeah, not exactly the same. But the real point is that when you eliminate fat, you might just transfer it to another area, so you haven't saved any money. But the
Well, I
deficit.
would say historically, my knowledge of, mostly local government, county government, state government.
Yeah.
Local government manages their money the best, then county government, then state, then you get up to the federal and it gets lost. And
Yeah.
plus, at the federal level, you got people that run for office that have no clue, never served in office, never did a budget, never did a budget in a business, for sure didn't do a budget in government. So they just think, well, I'm going to propose this. It's $300 million for my place, my
Right.
state, and I'm going to push it and be the hero. They have
All
no
right.
idea. They have no idea.
Okay. Let's try to wrap this up now. We've been on about 35 minutes. So, you have any final thoughts? Let's say we got final 20 seconds. Everybody knows what our thematic was is for what today. Now, I'm going to suggest that the next time we get together, which is going to be soon, we're going to do more podcasts. We want to give Joe Rogan a run for his money. So
Look
we
out,
need some
Joe.
followers. Hey, go get some people out there and listen to this. We're going to challenge each other every day. I'm going to challenge Dan. He's going to challenge me. You've never heard me be in favor of the Democrats. And I'm not even saying I'm in favor of them now. I'm just saying, my gosh, they have this great opportunity. And if they don't take it, by the way, then we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the future that well,
Well,
but
they should listen to you. You're a good
they
man,
have a
wise
great
man.
opportunity, right? And that's my last 15 seconds. Next time, we're going to attack the area of the Ukraine.
Ukraine.
The Russian
Okay.
issue, how to solve
That'll be a
that,
conversation.
and what
Hopefully.
in a policy, what should be the Democratic policy be with respect to the Republican policy on the Ukraine? So, listen in for that. Dan, you got 15 seconds, sign off.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna sign off and say, folks, listen, stay tuned to what we're talking about because each week you'll see things that you like, things you don't like, but that's what we want to hear from you. They can write you at webtalkwithbob@gmail, right? Webtalkwithbob@gmail.
Now, Dan, you said you're doing some recording. You wanted me to do something before I sign off.
Yeah, let's see. I think, well, it looks like I'll have to get your recording because it didn't take. Maybe you didn't hit okay when I asked to record it.
I
No
did
big
say
thing.
okay. I
You're
did say
recording
okay,
it.
by the way. I did say
What's
okay.
that?
I did say okay. I accepted it. Otherwise, it wouldn't even have started. So here we go. I'm signing off. Hey, guys. We're going to do lots of podcasts because I don't think Joe Rogan should be the only podcaster with 30 million
We
followers.
gotta come up with a name for this, not just Sherwood Snell. We gotta come up with some higher thought name. So folks
You
got any
work on
ideas?
that. I call it thought collisions.
Thought collisions. I
See you
like it.
later.
Okay. Bye-bye.